Welcome to the podcast series from the Institute for Social and Economic Research at the University of Essex.
I'm Dr. Heather Laurie. I'm the director of the Institute for Social and Economic Research, and I'm a sociologist. And the background to this research is that there's been quite a lot of research done previously about how couples manage their money and how they manage their money on a day-to-day basis. So who pays the gas bill, who buys the groceries, how they manage their bank accounts, and so on. But this research looks at a different aspect of how people manage their money, and that's looking at people's savings and investments and debt, and whether or not couples hold these jointly or independently in their own names.
And where did you get your information from? What was the source of data that you used?
We used data from the British Household Panel Study, which is a very large-scale study run in the UK, and it started in 1991, and it follows the same people over time. We selected couples in the sample, so we have around 6,000 couples who are part of the sample for the analysis.
And what were your main research findings?
Well, the main findings were that in contrast to the sort of day-to-day management, where mostly people say they share the management of money equally, we found there was much more independence in terms of the way people hold their savings, investments and debts. So they're seen more as individual level assets, if you like, rather than things that belong to the couple necessarily. We were particularly interested in how that relates to each of the couple's employment status and their own income, because what you find is that where people have higher levels of income, they're more likely to have savings and investments. Men are more likely to have higher levels that they hold greater amounts than their female partner, and this is definitely associated with people's labour market status. So one of the things we were keen to look at was the extent to which the sorts of inequalities we see within the labour market, where women typically earn less than men, they possibly work fewer hours than men, maybe working part-time, how those translate into differences within the household as well as to how couples manage their money.
Were you able to find out why people were behaving in this way?
Well, unfortunately, there aren't any questions that ask why people behave in this way. But there's quite a lot of other qualitative research that you can look at that gives you some ideas about what might be going on. And that research really suggests that while couples look at the way they manage their money as being a joint and mutual sort of affair, and you would expect that because they're a couple, they're going to manage their affairs in a sort of joint way, that doesn't necessarily mean that things are equal between them. So it doesn't necessarily mean that they have the same access to money in the household, that they have the same amounts of money each. It's a sort of a negotiated position about who is responsible for certain types of money and who is responsible for certain types of expenditure. And that's seen as a shared responsibility by couples, but as I say, it doesn't necessarily translate into equality.
Is this an area of concern, do you think, for people who are worried about this aspect of equality?
Well, I think there's a number of things that feed into this. There's a very big policy concern about women as they enter retirement and the sort of financial resources that they have. And they typically have lower pension entitlements and a lower pension income and also lower levels of savings overall. So in terms of women's longer-term financial well-being, you know, there is a concern about women being able to actually build up assets during their life, their working age life, in order that they can have a decent standard of living as they enter retirement and they grow older. We've seen changing patterns in terms of cohabitation and marriage. And what we find in this research is that amongst couples who are cohabiting, they're much more likely to hold things independently than jointly. And that may be partly to do with the way they view the relationship. They may see it's maybe is not going to be as permanent as a marriage, perhaps, or they may have different views about how they think they should manage their lives. They may just have different attitudes to the way money should be managed. So one of the things that could be of concern is that, especially for those couples, if they've been together cohabiting for some period of time where indeed things are held independently, if they break up, there's not much protection for the partner who has less access to those savings and so on. For women who are married, perhaps they have more protection, but nonetheless, there's quite a body of research that shows that women typically come off financially much worse after a divorce than their male partners. So there are some important policy implications of this, I think.
Savings, investments, debts and psychological well-being in married and cohabiting couples is an ISA working paper by Heather Laurie and Manny Can.